as many of you know, Julie and I are expecting our first child in November, and we are just very excited first-time parents to be. And every single stage is absolutely amazing to us because it's never happened before. So this week we felt the baby kick for the very first time, and then that's all we did for the rest of the evening. Both our hands on Julie's belly, waiting to see if it's going to kick again. And Julie has been documenting the journey with a pregnancy journal. So every week she diligently writes in her thoughts and feeling and what's happened and what's changed and what's going to happen on next week. And no doubt if God blesses us with more children, she'll do exactly the same for each one as well. And I was flicking through it, and at the end of the last page, it's a space for you to write your birth story. And I was thinking about what words would fill that page. Today, I want us to look in the Bible at a birth story, an account of how somebody came into this world. You see, we're beginning this new series looking at the life of Moses. And his birth story is one of the most famous birth stories in the whole world. It's absolutely amazing. It's full of twists and surprises. And when you look closely behind the scenes, you can see that God is at work bringing about his salvation plan for the whole world. So if you have your Bible there, you might like to open it up to Exodus chapter 1 and 2, or if you've got it on your phone, to have it in front of you. But we're going to begin by looking at chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. So we have two Israelites living in Egypt. Their ancestor Levi moved with his brothers during time of a famine at the invite of the Pharaoh at that time. She becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, and she looks at this baby and thinks he's absolutely beautiful. But her joy quickly turns to fear, and she hides him. And that's a strange thing, because normally when there's a birth, you announce it to as many people as you can, but she is trying to keep it a secret. And to understand why, you need to look back at the context of chapter 1. Because you see, this family and all of Israel's descendants have a problem. So if you look at chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, "Look," the king said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, they will join our enemies." Over the generation, the Israelites had multiplied, and the Egyptians are now worried that they will take over. So they decide to oppress them. Look on at verse 11. "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor." Israel has a big problem, but God has a promise. You see, a long time ago, God made a promise to Abraham, and he said that he was going to bless him and that he would make him into a great nation, that his descendants would be so numerous you wouldn't be able to count them, just like you can't count the stars or count the sand on the seashore. And here we see the working out of that promise. Abraham's descendants have become a great nation, but they are going through a dark time of trouble. But their problems do not nullify the promise. In fact, it's just the opposite. So in verse 12, it says that the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The more Pharaoh tried to push them down with problems, the more God lifted them up with his promises. Sometimes people mistakenly think that being a Christian will make life easy and simple. But having God's promises doesn't mean that we will never face problems. There's never been a generation of God's people that have not had to live through times of difficulty. But God's promises do not eliminate all our problems in life. But our problems can illuminate God's promises to our life. Let me read that again. God's promises do not eliminate all our problems in life, but our problems can illuminate God's promises to our lives. We all face difficult times. That means that God hasn't forgotten his promises, but it's in those times sometimes we see the promises most clearly. One of my favorite Bible verses is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's not my favorite Bible verse because life has always been easy. But it's in the times of difficulty when I've had to face challenges that that verse has come alive. Like when I moved to London to go to Bible college, and that first weekend, all alone, sitting in my room in this big city where I knew no one, that's when the comfort of God's promise to always be with me shone into my life. Or when I went through a season of uncertainty, seeking guidance, but all I got were closed doors and disappointments, that's when the hope of the promise that God will be with me shone into my life. Or when after 6 months of arriving here, we had to close the doors because of the pandemic, and overnight we had to rediscover how to do church, that's when the promise of God will always be with you, that's when you realize the power of that promise. Because in those times you need God's promises, you turn to them, you depend on them, and you see God's faithfulness working through it. Not because life is always easy, but in those difficult times you discover the truth of them. God's promises does not eliminate all our problems in life, but our problems can illuminate God's promises. Today's trials are tomorrow's testimonies. Israel had a problem, but God had made a promise. However, Pharaoh was determined to stand in opposition to what God was doing. And so when slavery doesn't work to stop them growing, he turns to murder. So in chapter 1, verse 22, "Then Pharaoh gave the order to all his people, 'Every Hebrew boy that is born to you must be thrown into the Nile, but let every girl live.'" So this dark shadow hanging over this birth story. The baby does not receive a birth cert, but a death sentence. And his mother hides him for as long as she can, but after 3 months, it can't hold him any longer. So she puts him in a basket, puts the basket in the river. But the river is not his death. It turns out to be his deliverance. The basket is found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she names him Moses and adopts him as her own son, guaranteeing his safety. Moses finds protection from the order to take his life in the palace of the very king who said it. And even though God is not mentioned, we can clearly see his hand at work. It was God that rescued Moses. God rescued Moses. He brought him out of danger, out of slavery, and into the household of Pharaoh. But God lifted out the one so that he could then be the liberator of many. As we'll see as we follow this story in over the next few weeks, God has a plan, and he will draw out the Israelites from their problem. When we face times of trouble, we need to know that God has a promise to sustain us, but he's also got a plan to save us. And what God does here for Moses, he will do in the chapters that follow for Israel. He will bring them through the waters and rescue them from slavery. So what has this got to do with Jesus? Just a few moments ago, I read from Luke chapter 24, where Jesus explains that the story of Moses speaks about him. So what does this story speak about Jesus? And again, it comes back to these themes of God's promises and God's plans for human problems. See, all of us are born into slavery. We're born into the slavery of sin. And we are born under the shadow of death. God has made a promise and a plan to free us from that. Abraham was part of that plan. Joseph going to Egypt was part of that plan. So was Moses being raised in an Egyptian household. So was the Passover and the Exodus and the covenant and the Ten Commandments. The whole way through the Bible, you see God's plan of salvation slowly unfolding until it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus, like Moses, was born under a death sentence set by a fearful king, yet he lived. And just like Moses was drawn out of the river that should have been his death to become the ruler and liberator of his people, so too Jesus was raised up out of the grave to be our Lord and Savior. This series, looking at the life of Moses, I'm going to call it Out of and Into, because that's what the book of Exodus is largely about. The people being taken out of slavery to an evil king and being brought in to be worshippers of a loving God. And I believe that today, God wants to take us out of something and bring us into something better. That today, God wants to take us out of our problems and bring us into his promises. Because some of us are here this morning and our hearts and our minds are just deep in our problems. It's all that we can think about. But God wants to give us freedom and peace, to draw us out of our problems and into his promises. So maybe this morning you came to church with the problem of loneliness. But God wants you to go home with the promise that he will never leave you or forsake you. Maybe today you came with the problem of worries about the future. But God wants you to go home with the promise of his guidance and wisdom, and to know that all things work together for his good. Some of you came to church this morning with the problem of guilt. But Jesus wants to assure you of the promise that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. Some of you just came to church with the problems of problems. And Jesus wants to give you the promise of the power of his Holy Spirit to help you with whatever it is that you are facing. Do you know, even if today you came here with the problem of facing death, there is the sure promise of the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what your problem may be, no matter how big it looks to you right now, God's promises for you are even greater. He has a plan for us. Jesus wants to take you out of your worries and fears and bring you into a place of faith and worship. Let's take a moment and respond to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you that no matter how many promises you have made, they are all yes in Christ. Thank you that before the creation of the world, you had a plan to redeem us through the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, now in this moment of silence, we bring before you our problems and ask for the grace of your help. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with the hope and the peace that comes from the promises of the Bible. Help us to hold unswervingly to the faith we profess and to trust that the one who promised is faithful. Amen.